Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Why is Connecticut real estate so hot?
Why?
Is it our proximity to New York City?
Could be.
What's going on?
I don't know.
I thought, well, let's ask an expert. Jonathan Carbuti, Carbuti & Company Realtors. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Why is it so hot?
Yeah. Not such an easy question. There is no inventory. I mean, we have less inventory on the market this year at the same time than we had last year. And the demand, the pent-up demand is just huge, huge.
Where's this demand coming from, though? How is it
coming from everywhere? It's coming from upgrade buyers who have outgrown their three-bedroom, one-bathroom homes, and they have a need for the four-bedroom upgrade homes, right? First-time home buyers are tired of renting. They're tired of paying these high rents. They want to get into something.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about high interest rates, but you know what? When you look at the affordability, it's still there, especially in some of these other counties. We were talking about Hartford County last time we were on the air.
Yeah.
We put three properties on the market, very affordable first-time home buyer price points in Hartford County in the last 2 weeks. All three of them went over asking price.
Damn.
I got it during COVID.
Right.
Because people just wanted to scram from the cities.
Right.
And then there was all this, you know, money coming in from the government and stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, great. And low interest rates and all those things combined.
But
it's still going.
Yeah. Not that we're complaining.
It's like musical chairs. At some point, when are we out of chairs?
Right.
I know. It hasn't slowed down. It was interesting because about a month and a half ago, we had a property up on Midwell Road in Wethersfield, and the couple moved out of the house 45 days ago. We've just been prepping it, painting it. We had our home stager, Lindsay, staging it with furniture. Between 45 days ago and when we listed it Friday morning before this weekend, we put it on the market $30,000 higher than what we were going to list it 45 days ago. It still went over asking price.
Nice.
That's wild.
It's a good thing.
It's wild.
That's a great thing.
Yeah.
That's a great thing.
And banks are coming in with these numbers too, so you're still just putting 20% down. It's not like you're asking or offering 50 grand over asking and the bank says, I don't think so. You're going to have to come up with more.
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
And, but there's still a lot of affordability out there. You know, a lot of these price points are around the 250, 269 price point. We just put one on the market Friday morning on 97 Lennox in Manchester. That was a 239 price point. These are fantastic price points.
That price point to me, that thing's going to be gone before anyone sees it.
Right.
Right?
Before this call is over.
Yeah.
Well, I've just sold it.
Yeah. When I see a 200 to 350 price range in Connecticut now, I think it's not going to survive the weekend. Like, it's gone.
Really?
Yeah. Would you agree with that?
No. Huh. They're all flying off the shelf. And that's why we're running these open houses, because I'll tell you, you know, we're putting some of these properties on as coming soon, sometimes 3, 4, or 5 days in advance. We're getting 21 requests for showings within a 3-day period from other agents.
So
these are before we even put these properties on the market officially on a Friday morning and run an open house. So these open houses, we're just running the open houses because it's the most convenient for the homeowners. And we're like, look, get out of the house for 2 days between these hours, and we're just going to have everybody come through the property.
Right. Instead of doing it here and there. Right. That makes sense.
Instead of saying, I want to see it at 8 a.m. in the morning, I want to see it at 5, 6 o'clock.
Right.
We just get everybody in. We open it up to the public. We open it up to the other agents and, see where the cards fall right now.
Is that a good thing, though, to have, like, 8 buyers in the house at the same time? I guess that creates excitement for the house.
I would think.
It's interesting. It's an interesting dynamic. It's actually good for the sellers, probably bad for the buyers, because what's happening is all the other buyers are walking through saying, oh, my God, does that person want it? Oh, my God, what's that person going to bid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you see the cars coming in and out, Like you pull in and there's eight people in, and then you're going through and eight people come and you're leaving and people are pulling in and slowing down as you pull out the driveway. You're like, yeah, if we're going to make an offer on this, we gotta write it up now.
I would have a dance off.
Yep. And I'll tell you one thing too, by the way, in these multiple offer situations, we always talk about sellers and, you know, working with a real estate agent. These buyers, you better have the right real estate agent and the right team representing you.
Why?
I see a lot of inexperienced agents out there writing offers that are really coming in from a position of weakness for their buyer.
What do you mean? Like, just
buyer.
Like, let's see if we can get it for, like, go low or contingencies or...
Contingencies, adding contingencies, ridiculous contingencies in these contracts that are just not going to win the deal for their client. I see a lot of inexperience. It's interesting because as an experienced agent, when I'm talking to a newer agent or somebody who's inexperienced or somebody who really doesn't understand how to write a purchase and sales agreement or submit a contract, usually I can like sniff out a new agent right away or an inexperienced agent.
Yeah. But how does that, if you're coming in to make an offer, the most important thing is price and how fast you could take it and how solid of a buyer are you?
And terms, you know, there's different terms. I mean, there's more to a contract than price, right? Some buyers are waiving inspections. Some buyers are saying, you know, I'm going to have a home inspection, but it's going to be for information purposes only, right? There's so many different ways to write a contract, submit a contract. You know, you better have your financing in order. You better be pre-approved. You better be working with a reputable lender as well. There's so many different variables.
Jonathan Carbuti, Carbuti & Company Realtors is on. Remember the project house?
Yeah.
How fast that thing went?
That thing was amazing how the house came out.
Yeah. Well, I think, Jonathan, you typically put houses on Fridays, but I wanted mine to go on a Thursday because Friday, that particular Friday, was a Friday the 13th.
Oh, I see a little superstition there. What?
I know.
I mean, the 13th is my favorite day of the year.
I know, it sounds weird.
I went Thursday the 12th.
There's just something about it that I was like, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
No, I mean, not that wasn't really bad to think that.
I was like, let's do Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, omen.
By Friday, the whole weekend was booked up.
Wow.
And then there were offers, like Jonathan was talking about, some agents didn't know what to do with their clients. And, you know, I know some of the offers were... All right, he's asking X. Let's do this, and then we'll meet in the middle.
Right.
And I thought, you know, man, I do that too, but not in this market. Like you're doing 2018 offers.
Right.
It's, you know, 2021 right now.
We moved up. Yep.
Yeah. So
I was just amazed at how fast that house left.
They're all going fast like this. Are the high price houses still going fast?
Some of them are. We're working with a lot of couple. We just picked up a new couple out of Manhattan recently. They were looking down towards the Greenwich, Darien area, and they wound up buying in Fairfield. They were in a multiple offer situation. That price point was around like a $1.8 million.
Wow.
So, yeah.
How about the fixer-uppers, possible demolitions? Those going good?
I almost did one in Monroe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No.
The Carbuti team took me out there.
Right.
I looked at it.
I like Monroe. Monroe's nice.
You know, great piece of property.
Yeah.
Like a really stellar piece of property. House was built in 1960.
Okay.
Needs an S ton of work.
Right.
And it's one of those, you're looking around, you're like, man, I might find that it needs more as I start opening stuff up.
Yeah. Maybe easier to level it and just start all over.
I was thinking that was going to be my approach.
Right.
I was going to leave the foundation to a couple of the outbuildings and then just take the main house down, build a new house.
Right. Nice.
But man, what a piece of property. But then you start doing the math. Okay, if it costs this to get the house, then it costs this to demo the house, then it costs this to build the house.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Where am I going to be at the end of all this?
You know, and the thing is, I mean, you have experience as well. You have a lot of people getting into those projects saying, oh, my God, what did I do, right? So they think it's glamorous, or they think it's going to be fun. And like you said, they start opening up the walls and they start coming across things that they didn't anticipate, then they're in a lot of trouble.
Right. Yeah.
Right. I'm waiting for lightning to hit my house. Get the insurance money. I'm all set.
Woman drives car into Popeyes after they forget her biscuits.
Those biscuits are really good, though.
Are they really that good?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, not worth driving to a building for, but I can see the rage happening.
A Georgia woman drove her vehicle into a Popeyes restaurant after her biscuits were mistakenly left out of her order.
Yeah, never forget her biscuits. Now she's hungry.
That's a huge oversight, honestly. Yeah. You just expect that in the order.
Yeah, and that might have been a really bad day. I know personally, the one thing you could count on, you're like, okay, everything else has been screwed up. I'm going to treat myself to lunch. And you think, okay, this is the one thing I'm going to enjoy today. And they forget something, you just snap. Like, that's right. I'm driving into the Popeyes.
This is like that Michael Douglas movie where everything
like
happened.
Down. Yes.
Like falling down.
Like falling down, exactly. Yep.
He's got a scene at the fast food place.
Yeah, first he wants breakfast. They can't do it. It's 11:01. We don't serve breakfast till 11 o'clock. It's 11:01. Finally, he decides. He goes, all right, let me have a burger.
Wait, it's 11:01
at the time.
He misses breakfast by a minute.
By a minute. You know, and the guy's like, no, they can't do it. I'm like, really? And so he turns around. He goes to get a burger. And the guy hands to him. It just looks like somebody sat on it. It's disgusting, anemic looking. And he goes, this is what I'm talking about. He goes, look at that burger you have in the picture over there.
The menu.
It's so beautiful and fresh and this and that. He goes, and you give me this. It looked like, honestly, someone sat on it. The guy's like, well, I'm sorry. He goes, yeah, I'm sorry, too. And then pulls the gun out of him. He's like, ah!
Oh, is that when it's that? Yeah. Was that
I want
the
you
moment?
To make me one that looks like that.
Yep. And the gun actually goes off. And everybody's like, oh, freaks. He goes, no, it's okay. It's okay. Yep.
All right. Well, this is kind of what happened.
Right. She used a car, not a gun. Used a car, not a gun, which is probably, well, not a better way, but.
No.
Yeah, neither one works.
No.
Yes and no, but no.
Right, right.
Just go somewhere else.
Right, but Biscuits Man Rage is there. It's real.
Belinda H. Miller, 50, was charged with first degree criminal damage to property and aggravated assault. Deputies with the Richmond County Sheriff's Office were called to Popeyes in Augusta over reports of an accident with injuries.
Oh.
Store's manager said Miller got angry when she discovered there were no biscuits in her order.
Yeah, the biscuits really are big. If you get like the chicken, the crispy chicken tenders and stuff like that, you want the biscuits and the dirty rice.
Are they really that good, the biscuits?
I enjoy them, yeah. Yeah. The dirty rice I like better the most. Okay. I love that. That's good stuff. Red beans and rice is awesome. Now that I've gone there, just saying. Yeah.
Right, you're just not going to drive into the door if they forget your biscuits.
Not lately, no. Not anymore.
No.
You did have a freak out of Popeyes, though.
Taco Bell. Taco Bell,
I wadded everything up.
That's the famous one.
I wadded everything up and back into the bag and then drove back to the their open window and I wailed it inside. And you heard it go poff against the wall. Like, here's your order back. Bam.
When you repeat any of this, do you think maybe you're a little psycho?
Yeah.
Okay. What was the Popeyes?
What I remember is he went through the drive-thru and you wanted the po'boy sandwich.
Right.
So you asked for that, and then they pull around. They're like, yeah, we don't have the meat for the sandwich. You're like, it's chicken. Just put it on the sandwich.
Right.
And then they were like, well, do you want the sandwich meal? And you're like, I want them. Well, what do you want for soda?
This one.
And then you went through like two different options. They didn't have either one. So you finally pulled out and you like cut off three lanes of traffic to leave.
With the tires spinning. Yep. Wow, you got a great memory. I forgot about that. Yeah.
But you know what's hysterical? But we read these dumbass news stories.
Yeah, but I didn't crash to a building.
No, you didn't.
It's you.
But you could have T-boned a vehicle.
Well, this is why I signed with her with the biscuits.
You're a dumbass news story.
Maybe. Doesn't happen yet.
Oh, I forgot my favorite part. He goes, did you say sandwich? You go, yeah, I want a sandwich. He goes, that's sandwich? He goes, you said sandwich. You know you heard me. Now you're yelling about the word sandwich for like 30 seconds.
What about the time at KFC I made them make me the chicken? The guy's like, oh, we don't have it right now. I really want the grilled chicken. He goes, because we have to make it. I go, okay. He goes, to me 45 minutes. I go, I'll wait. I waited. People give me the dirty looks, and my car's like right there. I'm like, screw you. Wait for my grilled chicken.
This story seems irrelevant now. See the Chris Rock comedy special?
I saw parts of it, not the whole thing.
Yeah. I thought it was great. And he finally addressed that whole Will Smith slap thing.
We've all been waiting.
We've all been waiting.
We've all been waiting. Finally did it.
I think he was waiting, too. I think he specifically picked this week before the Oscars.
That's a once-in-a-lifetime moment.
Yeah. You want to pick the right time when everybody's paying attention.
Well, he did it on Netflix, and he did it to the world.
Yep.
The very first Netflix live special.
Wow.
And I thought it was well done. Let's talk to Ryan McCormick, who's a media relations specialist. What'd you think?
I thought it was incredible. He was so prepared, and you could tell he was waiting for a long period of time. And Chris Rock, I think his timing was actually a little bit off because he was putting so much emotion into it. And he was pretty, I think he was actually emotionally and physically exhausted by the end. But he did not hold back. He was vicious.
You know, you pick up on something I completely agree with.
What's that?
When you see a comedian do a special, you're generally seeing the second or the third taping where they had time to settle down with the material.
Right.
They know they have it already in the bag. Now they're just riffing.
Yeah.
He had one shot to do it live, and there was a lot of emotion there. And I what I loved about it is you don't really see this kind of a performance anymore when it comes to stand-up comedy.
No.
Where he knew he was doing material that could be the end of him.
There
was some really edgy stuff. He was doing it live. There was no opportunity to say, let's edit this out.
Yep.
This didn't test great to an audience.
Yep, this is just out there.
It is the absolute definition of bravery, because you talk to any folks in the military, and I don't want to compare the two things.
No, no.
But they say it's not that you're not scared. It's that you're scared, but you still do it.
Right.
You have to do it.
He was out of his mind scared. You could tell the energy.
Yeah.
And how he was delivering it. And that's a good pickup on that, Ryan. I saw the same thing, and I thought, good for him, man.
Yep, you on board.
He was badass.
Yes. The thing I also noticed, because my background is comedy, I used to work at Comic Strip Live in New York City where he performed. And he was great. Yeah, that was my whole background in stand-up comedy. And one thing I also noticed about him as well is when he was doing the appearance, you could tell, I could pick up that he was still, he's got some kind of trauma from the experience, and he was also physically hurt, but also humiliated when the whole thing happened, and he was hitting back as hard as he could. And at this point, I think that his performance was so provocative and so well done that he actually effectively ended Will Smith's on-camera career. I don't think we're going to see Will Smith ever be in a prominent position on camera again. I don't think we're going to see his films ever reached the level of prestige that they've ever done. I see behind the scenes he's going to be okay, but I don't think he's ever going to come anything close to his on-camera appearances before. His Q score, which is the determine how likable a person is, dropped significantly after the Oscars, and I think that with the Chris Rock special is going to plummet that even further.
Really? I never count anyone out.
Okay.
There's been so many comebacks.
Who's that in the background?
It's a weird industry.
Ryan, who's that? Do you have a consultant in the background? It's Chris Rock.
I've got a 2-year-old.
Oh.
His name is Ryder, and he runs my life. And he woke me up this morning to let me know that he had used the bathroom, which I'm very proud of him.
Great.
And I'll tell you, that's a good way to wake up in the morning.
Good. Yeah. Good. No diapers to clean.
Yeah, no cleanup. Yep.
Yeah.
That's good. Excellent. That's good.
But this thing, as far as Will Smith making a comeback, I watched that special again, and the actual thing that happened in the Oscar, and what Will Smith did, it was so vicious and so brutal, and I think that people always come to know that for him. And another thing, if you look at that Chris Rock special, is Will Smith, obviously, he failed to reconcile with Chris Rock. I think there'd be a point where he could have done something to limit the amount of viciousness that Chris Rock displayed towards Will Smith. And I figure that Will Smith could have done something at this point within the past year, but obviously, whether he did or not, his efforts clearly failed.
Yeah, the kind of apology he made a video about.
Yeah,
remember? Yeah, that kind of apology. It was more like, "I'm sorry that you saw this." It wasn't really like, "I'm sorry to Chris Rock," if I remember correctly. No.
As recently as like 3 or 4 weeks ago, I think he was making TikToks where he was trying to joke about it, holding his Oscar like in view.
Yeah.
He's moved on. Will Smith is like, that's the past. Yeah. Who cares? That was a different person then.
Yeah.
All right. So, Ryan, you're a PR guy. Will Smith calls you the morning after the Oscars, says, "What do I do now?
Oh, my God, I hit somebody. What do I do?"
What do you do?
First thing I would do is, make the national Oprah, go on national TV and make a profuse apology to Chris Rock and the Academy and all the people whose night you ruined, because that moment overtook everyone else's moment at that Oscar. So I would have been on a massive apology tour. I would have done everything possible to see Chris Rock in person. And I think that if he had really made a sincere effort, I can't imagine that if you make an over-the-top effort to apologize to someone, they're not going to, in some way, shape, or form, grant you some form of forgiveness. But it seems like the efforts wouldn't have...
Should you cry?
That's a good point.
Should you cry?
Yeah.
Well... should you cry?
No.
Like, I think you have to.
Crying help? Like, oh!
I think you have to.
Okay. Yeah, he should have also consulted with married men, too. I mean, I am a professional when it comes to apologizing. I get in trouble all the time. I just manage to say the wrong thing at the wrong time in front of my wife. So I could easily give Will Smith advice on how to issue an apology.
I was breathing wrong. I'm so sorry.
I do it all the time. I'm a pro. My wife says I'm a pro. She says, you're really, because I just do it all the time.
Right.
But, yeah, he should have come out and been really apologetic. And he should have done a lot more to make it publicly known he was getting mental health checks, because that is repressed anger. And, he could have done a lot of good things, but obviously his efforts didn't think he had to do them, or he didn't put enough in there, because you don't get to this point where somebody's attacking you like that. I figured that at one point Chris Rock was going to talk about how Will Smith, talked it over, they reconciled. There was none of that. And Chris Rock had all that anger building up. And that's what happens when you leave something like that alone, try to resolve it.
Yep.
Ryan McCormick is a reputation management expert. He's talking about what Will Smith could have done differently.
Yes.
And how Chris Rock's special now is going to plummet Will Smith. And you think he's done?
I think on the camera scenes, yes, for a foreseeable future. And also, when he's going to be banned from the Oscars for 10 years, and they always say, well, absence makes the heart grow fonder. I don't think people are going to remember him. I think that he's going to easily be replaced. There'll be another star that will come in. They'll reach a level of prestige. And people are always going to associate Will Smith with what happened at the Oscars. I mean, it was, again, you watch it again, and you see how vicious it is, and the fact that he's cursing. And it's violent. It's an act of violence. And I just don't think people are going to be able to look at that, take him seriously in another role, and have empathy for him. And Chris Rock was also mocking Will Smith's latest role, where, if hypothetically speaking, if Will Smith had never hit Chris Rock, could have been nominated for another Oscar.
Right.
But Will, all these other roles that he does in the future are going to be subject to scrutiny. And because Chris Rock's performance was not only well done, but went viral because of the comments, I think Chris Rock has effectively defined Will Smith, and Will Smith cannot come back to this because of what he's done. He doesn't have a leg to stand on. He can't come back and hit Chris Rock again, because the damage has already been done. That's what's known in the public eye.
Yeah, he shattered his image. I mean, everybody saw Will Smith as a likable, funny guy. I'm not even going to fight. Like, hey, man, don't even flex on me. I'm just kidding, that type of thing.
Right.
But now he went and hit someone and then started cursing on national TV. He completely shattered everybody's image of him.
I agree,
as the
AJ.
Person you want to hang out with.
No, but there has to be people in history who have done worse and have come back.
Well, Genghis Khan.
Okay, yeah. Hugh Grant with the hooker, but he did the apology tour.
Right, with the hooker, big difference.
Jack Nicholson took a golf club to, it's Jack Nicholson.
Yeah,
though.
But he's crazy,
he's in the
anyway.
Shining.
Exactly, right. No one looked at him like,
can
okay.
You,
Sean Penn has, never stopped hitting people, throwing bricks.
Right, we know of him as being a hitty person, yes.
Right, but he'll still be in a movie and still be brilliant, but he's known as a brilliant actor. Will Smith is, not...
You're not
He's just trying to make a name for himself in that
there.
Arena now.
Yes. Sean Penn, he's also got multiple roles. He can be a director. He can be a producer.
Right.
I mean, he did Cobra Kai. And if anyone's watched Cobra Kai, I think it's one of the most brilliant TV shows ever created. And it's in a category of its own. So behind the scenes, if he's working on certain shows, I think he'll do it. But even then, I mean, if Will Smith is putting his name on a project, you have to wonder how many people are going to associate themselves with this. And the thing I was thinking about is, that if you are in a production and you want to make a serious contention and run for the Oscars, do you want Will Smith being your producer in any capacity? I'd say the answer is no, because of his reputation. I mean, I'm sure subtly that regardless if Will Smith is attaching himself to a project that's brilliant, everyone does brilliant, I don't think people want to do it because of the implication, because of the liability, because of the association. You don't want to minimize your take away your chances of getting a level of prestige. And I think that's what Will Smith has done.
All right. So, Mel Gibson, when he
came back.
Mel Gibson came back.
Yes.
Right?
His comeback was tied to other people, though. So Robert Downey Jr. was a guy that everybody gave up on, and Mel Gibson stood by him, helped him through it. And when Mel went through his stuff, Robert Downey Jr. was the first one to be like, look,
return the favor.
I'm not going to come up here and apologize for what happened. I'm going to tell you that I know there's still a good person in there.
Yeah.
And that was the first step. So if that exists in Will Smith's past, if he's been helping people along that are not his son and not his daughter, that can go up there and do a similar thing, I think that path is open.
I think that's an excellent point.
But also murderers have gotten out of jail, and we're like, hey, yeah, I can't think of one right now.
OJ?
You know, but people have done worse than smack somebody
in
public.
Right, yeah, but they were nice people.
And then been able to come back.
Yeah.
I mean, politicians.
Yeah, I think it's just the shocking nature of it, because he did it on the Oscars.
Let's put you through the test, and then we're going to go, because we've got some concert announcements here. Ryan McCormick's on. He's a reputation management expert. Yeah, we're linked up to his stuff.
I need your card.
We all do. All right, let's just say now, we gave you an example of Will Smith called you after the Oscars. What if he called you right now? Same thing?
Oh,
Oprah?
Cool. We take his call?
No. What I would immediately do is I would probably do a series of videos and make a series of grand efforts to try to reach out to Chris Rock and just kind of own everything. Because when Chris Rock went on there, Chris Rock put out more information that was a lot more damaging than he could have ever done before. Chris Rock got away with saying things about Will Smith that he could have never done before. So at this point, if I'm advising Will Smith, I would say you have to make a lot of public appearances. You have to address this head on, because by not addressing this, the situation's got out of control. And by not coming clean and being more transparent, you're just going to give people an opportunity to just look at what Chris Rock said and let that define you. And you have to take control of the narrative back. And that's one thing I would work on him with. He has to take control of the narrative back, and he's got to be more sincere, more transparent. Because whether or not he wants to do it or not, the actions and efforts that they're going to put things back in the perspective that he needs to, gain the narrative.
Would you tell him
he's not doing the right thing by being quiet?
Would you tell him not to make public appearances with his wife?
I when I tell him not to make public appearances, probably.
I don't know her. All I know is what I read, and I know you don't believe everything you read, but I know that the public does not have a good, warm, fuzzy feeling about her.
No.
Most people, anyway.
Her score is very down, too.
Him included.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. A very negative viewpoint on that. Because, Chris Rock was saying that, she did a podcast with Will Smith, and she was saying on the podcast how she had an affair with somebody. And Chris Rock pointed that out. And it's pretty amazing, because you wonder how anyone would be able to mentally handle that.
Yeah.
So, I would say that.
Well, that's why I liked the name of his special. It was selective outrage. In other words, you're not outraged at that, but you're going to slap me in the face for making a joke.
Right.
Yeah. I thought it was a great name for a special. All right, I'm going to give you one more. I'm going to only give you a sentence to do this. Let's see if you are truly the master we think you are.
Try.
Meghan Markle.
Ooh. That's what he said.
What do you do?
Go take a break from the public perspective, from the public eye, for about 4 years. Guys, her popularity is plummeting along with Prince Harry. I'm glad you actually brought that up, because there is just zero public empathy for them right now. Maybe about in the hardcore circles.
Did you see the South Park episode?
Yes.
They friggin' nailed it. Oh, my God.
The special called Wham.
The book is called Wham.
The Worldwide Privacy Tour, which is true. I mean, South Park, those guys are brilliant.
They really are.
They really are.
All right.
Megan needs to take a break. She needs to take a break from the public eye for a few years and come back and, come back with some humility. But I think she's not out of the game.
Take a break.
Yet,
and then when people start saying, where is she?
Right.
All of a sudden, these videos of you in some third world country helping people.
Yep.
And that's what you dedicated a year or two just to help people.
I would tell her slap Will Smith.
You've got natural PR instincts. I think you should be in the business. I love how you think.
Ryan, thank you for coming on. Congratulations on your son getting potty trained.
Yay.
Big stuff.
Thank you.
Excellent.
We're going to producer right now.
Big day.
All right, we're going to link up to your stuff, and then we'll talk to you real soon.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now, and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, Share this podcast with friends. Chaz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.